leader's remarks at meeting with pupils and students on the occasion of 4th of November. On Wednesday, 1st of November 2023, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with thousands of school pupils and university students on the eve of the National Students' Day and the National Day of Fighting Global Arrogance, celebrated annually on 4th of November each year. The meeting took place at the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya in Tehran. In this program, we discussed the leader's remarks and point of views expressed at this meeting. Please stay with us. Wednesday, 1st of November, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with thousands of school pupils and university students on the eve of the National Students' Day and the National Day of Fighting Global Arrogance, celebrated annually on 4th of November each year. 4th of November is an important and decisive day in Iranian history. On this day in 1964, the founder of the Islamic Republic, the late Imam Khomeini, was exiled to Iraq because of his opposition to the Shah's regime, which had capitulated to the Americans. That is, all American personnel serving in Iran had been granted legal immunity from prosecution, and thus no Iranian court of law could try them. Imam Khomeini's opposition to this capitulation was the reason for his exile. Also, on 4th of November 1978, in the tumultuous days of the Iranian People's Revolution, the Shah's security forces shot and martyred a number of university students who were protesting opposite the main entrance to Tehran University. Also, on 4th of November 1979, the American embassy in Tehran, known as the Den of Espionage, was overrun and captured by Iranian university students following the path of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul. The US embassy was in reality a spying and espionage center against the Iranian nation, and top-secret and confidential documents captured by Iranian students and put on public display showed clearly what was going on inside this den of espionage. According to the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the first two events on 4th of November were blows delivered by the United States against the Iranian nation, and the third event was an Iranian blow against the United States. Commenting further on the takeover of the U.S. den of espionage in Tehran, Ayatollah Khamenei said, 10 months after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, on 4th of November 1979, students entered the U.S. embassy, took control of it, and uncovered the secrets and hidden documents in this embassy. The United States was disgraced. This was our blow. It was the Iranian nation's blow against the United States. So what I want to say is that you, the young people of today, need to have analysis of different matters. Merely having emotions is not enough. You need to analyze the core of the Islamic Revolution. You need to analyze the sacred defense, the 8 years of imposed war. You need to analyze the various events that took place in the 1980s. The leader added, "The Americans themselves attribute their hostility towards the Iranian nation to the issue of the embassy, and some people follow them and repeat those same things. The Americans claim the reason for imposing sanctions on Iran, the reason they treat us badly, the reason they create problems for Iran, and the reason for America's hostility towards Iran can be traced back to the seizure of the U.S. embassy in Tehran. Both the Americans and their followers inside the country claim this." Ayatollah Khamenei poignantly added, "But this is a big lie. That is not the case. 26 years before the events that took place at the U.S. Embassy in November of 1979, in fact, in August of 1953, the U.S. overthrew an independent nationalist government in Iran that was not affiliated to the United States. Therefore, America's hostility towards the Islamic Republic, towards the Iranian nation, has nothing to do with the issue of the takeover of the US embassy. Consider the documents that were found in the embassy. As you know, the students went in and brought the documents out. A large number of these documents had been shredded by the Americans. The students sat down and patiently stuck these pieces of paper together. These documents now amount to 70 to 80 volumes of books. These documents show that from the very first days of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, the American embassy was a center of conspiracy, espionage and spying against the Iranian nation. The leader added, they even planned coup d'etats at the US embassy. They wanted to stage a coup d'etat against the Islamic Revolution. They wanted to devise a scheme to start a civil war in Iran. They tried to launch a civil war in Iran's border provinces. Elsewhere in his remarks, the leader said, the issue of Western influence in Iran started with British. First of all, they came to Iran starting in the 1800s. They infiltrated the Qajar government at the time and gradually expanded their influence. The goal of the British was to do the same thing in Iran which they had done earlier in India. You know that India was in the clutches of the British for about 150 years. The British took the life out of India. Most of the wealth that the British have acquired stems from India, which itself has a long history. They wanted to do the same thing in Iran. In other words, they planned to start somewhere small, gradually build on that and take control of the country's economic resources. Once the economy was in their control, political control would be easy to acquire. That is exactly what the British had done earlier in India. In India, they first established the East India Company. Then, when they had moved forward, they took over the Indian government. India became a part of the British Empire, and that lasted for more than 150 years. They wanted to do the same thing in Iran. One of the first things that they did was the monopolization of tobacco, the tobacco movement, where a monopoly for growing, selling and buying tobacco in the country was given to England. The government at the time, during the reign of Nasiruddin Shah Qajar, did not realize what this meant, and they accepted it. However, Ayatollah Mirza Hassan Shirazi, a Shia Marja, a religious authority at the time, understood what was going on behind this issue. Ayatollah Mirza Hassan Shirazi issued a fatwa, a religious edict, that put an end to this agreement. This was the first thing that they did. The British plot failed. There were various successive contracts of this kind. One of these important contracts was known as the Vosur-ud-Dowleh Agreement, the Anglo-Persian Agreement. In 1919, the British gave a substantial bribe to the Iranian Prime Minister at the time, Vosur-ud-Dowleh, and this agreement was signed. The Vosur-ud-Dowleh Agreement placed Iran's economy, politics, army and governing system and everything else at the disposal of the British. This agreement was signed. However, one of our religious authorities at the time, Mata Modarres, stood up alone against this contract in the Iranian parliament, the Majlis, at the time. Modarres disclosed what was happening and did not allow the British to proceed, and he cancelled the contract. There were other contracts as well, such as the Reuters concession and others, but most of these contracts were annulled, thanks to the vigilance of Iran's religious authorities. Turning to the current events in the Gaza Strip, the leader said, today there are events taking place in Gaza that they would have done in Iran if they could have. The tragedy in Gaza, which is being carried out by the Zionists, and actually with the help of the Americans, is an unprecedented tragedy in history. In just 3 weeks, nearly 4,000 Palestinian children have been killed. The Islamic Ummah needs to know what is happening in Gaza and needs to identify what is happening. The war in Gaza isn't a war between Gaza and Israel. It's a war between falsehood and truth, a war between the arrogant powers and faith. On the one side is the power of faith, on the other side is the power of arrogant powers. Of course, the arrogant powers gain power using bombs, military pressure, bombardment, and crimes. But the power of faith will overcome all of these. Our hearts bleed because of the suffering of the Palestinian people, especially the Palestinians of Gaza. We're upset. However, when we take a closer look at what is taking place, we realize that the victors in this battle are the people of Gaza and the people of Palestine. First of all, the people of Gaza have removed the false mask of human rights from the faces of United States, France, England, and the like. They have disgraced them. The people of Gaza have been able to stir the human conscious world over. See what is happening in the world today. In Western countries, in England, in France, in Italy, and in the United States itself, people are coming out in huge numbers and they're chanting slogans against the Israeli regime and in support of the oppressed Palestinians. Thus, you see, some fools come out and say, Iran was behind the rally in the United Kingdom. No doubt the London besiege must have been behind this, or the Paris besiege must have done this. One of the many shameless actions of Western politicians and Western media these days is calling the Palestinian fighters terrorists. Is a person who is defending his own homeland a terrorist? Is a person who is defending his own country a terrorist? Back when the Nazi Germans occupied Paris during the Second World War and the French were fighting the Germans, when the French fighters were the French fighters described as terrorists? Why were they considered fighters and a source of pride for France? But you consider the Palestinian young people, the Palestinian youth, as terrorists. You are shameless. The people of Gaza and the Palestinian resistance fighters have exposed your lies. One of the important things that the Al-Aqsa storm operation did was to show how a small group, the Palestinians are less in number than they are, with little supplies and provisions, but with a firm faith and determination, was able to burn down and put an end to the result of many years of criminal efforts by the Israeli regime. The Palestinians showed how they were able to humiliate the world's arrogant governments. The Palestinians humiliated both the usurping Zionist regime and their supporters. This is a great lesson. Of course, the Zionist crimes shook humanity. I said this a few days ago, and I will repeat it again. There is more expectation from the Islamic world. Muslim governments should realize that if they don't help Palestine today, everyone must help in any way that they can. They have helped Palestine's enemy, which is the enemy of Islam and the enemy of humanity. Tomorrow, this same danger will be a threat to them. What Muslim governments must insist on is an immediate end to the crimes that are being committed in the Gaza Strip. The bombings must stop immediately. Muslim governments must block the exports of oil and essential services to the Zionist regime. And they must stop economic cooperation with the Israeli regime. They must raise their voices in all international assemblies and condemn Israel's crimes and atrocities in Gaza. This must be done without any hesitation. Where there is an Islamic assembly or an Arabic assembly, the talk of the few people who speak there mustn't be ambiguous or faltering. They must clearly condemn the Zionist regime of Israel, and they must unequivocally declare their support for the Palestinian people. Commenting further on the situation in the Gaza Strip and in Palestine, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The blow that the Zionist regime of Israel has received from Palestinian resistance is irreparable." I said this before and I will say it again now. This has gradually been revealed to the world. They cannot compensate for this. The Zionist regime is desperate and confused now. It is lying to its own people. The Zionist expressions of concern about their own captives who are in the hands of the Palestinians is also a lie. The bombardments they're carrying out may kill their own captives as well. The fact that they're expressing concern for their own captives means they're also lying to their own people. And they're lying because they don't have any choice. The Zionist regime is bewildered. It is distressed. It doesn't know what to do. If it doesn't have America's support, the Zionist regime will definitely be crippled in a matter of days. Commenting further, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The Muslim world must not forget that in this important, crucial matter, those who stood against Islam, a Muslim nation and the oppressed Palestinians, were the United States of America, France and Britain. The Muslim world must not forget this. They need to understand this in their dealings, in their calculations and analysis. They must not forget who is standing against and putting pressure on the oppressed Palestinians. Of course, we have no doubt that Allah's promise is indeed true. God's promise is true. And do not let yourself be upset by those who have no conviction. Do not let those who are uncertain about God's promise make you waver with their negativity. God willing, inshallah, the ultimate victory belongs to the Palestinians and the Palestinian nation." In final remarks, the leader wished God's mercy and blessings upon all those present.